This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up here on the Social Positive Friday, we will drink a toast with a shot of the day. Then it's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Damn. And today we celebrate a positive Friday with Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
You feel it, Steve.
I'm feeling it, brother.
You feel these good vibrations.
Sounds like Jock Jams, doesn't it? Like the same woman who does all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like for like
KMF or whatever.
KMF's gonna move you.
Doesn't it? Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch and Good Vibrations taking on the Beach Boys.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up
Good Vibrations versus Good Vibrations on a Bad Choice Friday. Vote now if you follow us on X at Men's Room Live. One of those two tunes coming up right after we drink a toast with a shot of the day. Okay, our question, what is the last good thing that's happened to you? 206-803-ROCK.
I'm going to read a real quick text because I feel like this is very succinct. I like that this guy does not need a lot. He just needs the basic things in life. He says, the best thing that happened to me today was when my wife rolled over to give me a kiss goodbye as I headed out to work. Her boob was hanging out of her sports bra. I know it's simple and basic, but what a great way to start your day. You're not wrong, dude.
Absolutely.
Seriously. It is honest to God, little things like that.
Live on, King.
Yeah, my wife's boobs. I like them. There it was. Even it was saying goodbye to you.
Oh, look. Boob popped out.
Yeah, look at that. That is awesome.
Nice. It's going to be a good day.
That's
good. Yeah.
Hey, man. It's the boobs truth. In the morning. Yeah. I used to work with a guy at Chi-Chi's. His name was Dwayne. He was the manager. And he was just, by his nature, he was just always salty. I did blah, 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 all the time. It wasn't even personal. One morning he comes in. He's in a good mood. He's whistling. He's like, hey, guys, what's going on? Hey, hope everyone had a good night, blah, blah, blah. Like, Dwayne, did you get out late? He's like, this morning. I said, man, we can tell. But I mean, seriously, your demeanor in every single way, and either you won the lottery or you got laid. That's the only reason you come in the morning that happened. It is a truth. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. Oh, my God. It's like I moved here in September. So first-time caller. I listen to you guys all the time because it's a great rock and roll station.
I appreciate that. Hey, man, if you can you move to a different part of wherever you are because your phone is cutting out?
Is that better?
A little.
No. Okay. So I'm in my rock and roll room right now, and I'm looking at this picture. So to tell you the story, I bought this picture from Def Leppard. It's one of one. I got a certificate, everything like that. But it was signed by Ross Dolphin, famous photographer, Joe Elliott, and Phil Collins. Then, a year after I bought this photo, they came out with a definitive copy of the book in Europe only, and you got this picture signed by the whole band. So I went on YouTube and posted a video, James Branski versus Def Leppard. And then Helen, who's Phil's wife, reached out to me on Instagram. So I sent the picture to Helen, and she had the band sign it. Everyone signed it for Rick Savage. So I moved to Seattle in September, and I go see Def Leppard at the Lumi Stadium, I think. And I had meet and greet passes with Def Leppard. So okay. When I go there, they tell me, hey, you know, they're not going to sign anything. I was like, whatever. And I brought the picture with me. I had it all taped up and everything like that. And so I go in there and meet the band. And I say, hey, Rick Savage, you have to sign this photo. This is a photo of them leaving the stage at Wembley Stadium at the Freddie Mercury tribute concert. Right? So Journey's playing. And I'm sitting there in my seat, just walking out. And this lady walks up and she brings me my canister, which has the photo in it. And she goes, when he saw the photo, he had to sign it, and he signed it.
Well, very cool.
So you did get the whole thing signed.
Except for by the drummer.
Let me ask you guys this question. So years ago, I don't remember who told us this. It was a different musician, maybe Duff, somebody who'd been on tour with the Stones for a part. And they said, look, one thing about the Rolling Stones, you know, they've been huge for the last 50 years. So people always want the autographs. And so what they do a lot of times is instead of signing per person just before the show, they will each sit down and sign their signature to a bunch of stock photos, okay? But they didn't always feel like doing that, so they would trade off which member of the band would sign everyone's signature. So one day, Mick Jagger signed everyone's name on there. Next day, Keith Richards signs everyone's name on there. My question is, what would you spend more money on? You go, all right, this is a picture of the Rolling Stones that has been literally signed by every member of the Rolling Stones, or the same picture, Mick Jagger is responsible for each one of their signatures.
I think they're both equally valuable.
Really? I'm taking the one that's just been signed by one of the band
members. They're not.
What do you mean?
Watched a lot of Pawn Stars.
All right.
This isn't that uncommon. You got to bring in your signature expert.
That's right.
So the stuff that's, and they know that about certain bands or whatever, and right. They're like, it's like there's some guys in bands who are just notorious for not, they're like, I don't want to sign stuff.
So someone else in the band will do it, right?
So it's like the price goes up because it's very hard to get all four of the signatures of all those guys that are real.
See, for me, and I'm sure it's worth more, but for me, I would rather have the one that's signed by one guy. One, I think it's kind of funny, but to me, it's like a counterfeit dollar bill. A buddy of mine years ago, his older brother, he pulls a $1 bill. Who counterfeits a $1 bill? Anyway, it's a $1 bill, but Washington was spelled wrong. So you know it's counterfeit. But when word got out about this, people were offering him upwards of $1,000 for the bill. And I'm like, so if you had a real $1 bill, it's only worth $1. But you have a fake one. Again, who counterfeits a one? But you have a counterfeit $1 bill, and collectors, whatever the hell you call them, I guess, they will give you more money than it's worth because they tell you it's worthless, and I'm like, but it's not.
Positive Friday, what's the last good thing that's happened to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Craig. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Yeah, so recently I had a work party, like a holiday party back in January, and as if that wasn't, you know, nice enough, like, tons of good food and drinks and all that. And then they had a bunch of raffle drawings and entered my name for the $300 worth of Amazon gift cards. And bada boom, bada bing, they called my name. Second year in a row, I won something. The last year, I won $1,000.
Oh.
And yeah.
$1,000 cash?
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, that was taxed. But with the Amazon cards, it was just $300. So went on a spending frenzy.
So when they taxed the $1,000, which I didn't know you had to do, how much money did you get?
Like seven something.
All right. That's about what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Hey, man, nothing wrong with cash. You can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah. Amazon cash.
That was good, and bought a bunch of, you know, practical things and then some fun things too. I got a drone with a camera. I never had a drone before, so I need to set that up and try
Why
it out.
Why did you
and,
spend your money on practical things? Like when it's free money,
well,
when it's fun money.
And some shoes. You know.
Okay. All right. All right. I'll accept that.
All right. How much was the gift card?
Nice.
$300.
I got $300 worth.
All right, all right. I see what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I would have spent $300 on Hers Old Bay cheese curls.
All $300.
Yeah. Why not get them shipped out?
I've shipped them enough that like every time I go to Amazon to buy anything, which truthfully I'm not a huge Amazon person, but it's always like when I add in three bags of chips.
Hell yeah,
yeah. Yeah. You know what I do.
Our promotion director who used to work here for a number of years. And he has since moved on up the corporate ladder, so he does most of the major stuff.
Yeah, the national stuff.
So if we do big stuff, then he'll join us. But other than that, he's normally on the road doing stuff and setting up shows in other places. He's at a Mariner game. I don't know, but like anything else, being someone who is in the promotion industry and has been in charge of prizes for various radio stations for all these different things, he's kind of curious to just how different things work as far as contesting goes.
Sure.
So how do you sign up? How's this on this app? Or what, you know, just formatically.
The methodology, yeah.
Yeah, but
the
also,
logistics.
But also interested in trying to win. So he's at a Mariners game, and they have this deal going on where you can register to win a brand new pontoon boat that has the Mariners logo on it and everything.
Correct.
Lo and behold, they call his name. I don't know if it was the seventh inning. I do not know if. I think it was at the end of a game before fireworks were going to start, maybe
a laser show. It's weeks after. He's at the game and simply, like, on the screen, like, on the big Jumbotron is a QR code. So he's, like you're saying, he's like, all right, let's just see what the hell it's for.
Right.
Or how it works. So he fills everything out, and then literally, like, a couple weeks later, they email him. At first, because of his job, he kind of didn't know what it was. It was like, and then he's like, oh, that's my personal email account. Like, why are the Mariners emailing me? Right? As opposed to, like, work.
Did they tell him why?
So then he replies, and he's like, oh, all right. And then when he got there, I want to say there was like three of them or something, and one of them was going to win it. But yeah, I mean, completely on a whim.
This is brand. This thing is like a $50,000 boat, $40,000, whatever it is. I mean, but here's a guy that's done nothing but help people win prizes his entire life.
And that's the only reason he entered the contest was to see how do they do it. Because maybe it's something we can adopt at the radio station, right?
Whatever the deal.
And instead, he won a boat. I'm just like, damn, man. Yeah, he didn't give it any thought. He's like, it's like anything. I don't expect to win. I didn't even enter in the effort to win. It's just because he nerds out on this kind of thing. It's important to his job. Hey, how do the Mariners do it? Then he found out. And he won a boat.
Yeah, I mean, the night he won that boat, I was driving down to Portland, right? So halfway down, our buddy Keith, so like sometimes you could see your text, right? But I'm driving, I'm on the highway, so I'm not going to answer, but just like, what's a good country song about boats? That's weird.
Jimmy Buffett, maybe?
Right, I mean, there's a ton of them, right? I don't know, there's one about, you know, being a redneck and you just tie up your boats together, your pontoon boats together.
Yeah.
Whatever, I think it's called like Redneck Yacht Party. So I'm like, this is odd. So I get down there, check in. Then I go to this bar to get some takeout food, two beers and a shot. And I'm texting him back, and he's like, no, he won a damn boat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And then there's nobody in this bar. I'm BSing with the bartender. I'm like, my buddy won a boat. Her kid is like 13, plays travel baseball. And she's like, my son watch every game. He's been texting me. Mom, somebody just won a boat at the game.
Really?
And I'm like, look, there he is.
Brian throwing with his hands up in the air. Like,
yeah, it was awesome. If I had had time, I would have stayed and talked to that single mom. Sorry, I should have left that thought inside.
The single mom. Yeah, wouldn't you say it like that?
She was single.
Because we're talking about her son.
Well, that
plays ball.
Doesn't mean you have a dad?
It wasn't much mention of a dad.
All right.
Good. Our question on this Positive Friday, what is the last good thing that's happened to you? 206-803-ROB.
Miles, they're slanging drinks at a local spot.
They're single.
All right. On a Friday night.
Yeah. They're kidding.
Well, plus, I just know enough about baseball. So when I left, I was like, by the way, tell your son to lay off the high spot stuff. Oh, my God. How did you know he swings at the high stuff? Like, just had a hunch, little lady. It's like, well, because he's 12. Everybody swings at the high stuff.
Because he's 12, yeah. Right. Hello, Angela. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola. So, Angela, what good thing happened to you?
My husband, my daughter, and I just got our first house.
Oh, yeah?
How nice.
How long have you guys been married? How old is your kid?
We've been married for 25 years.
25. And you guys just now, is this because you weren't interested in buying a house or you finally just got it together enough to buy a house?
Well, we were going to get his father's house when his father passed. But he sold it before that.
Okay, well.
So we were,
oh, no.
Yes, we had to move to find our own place, but so we just got our first place.
All right. Nice. Where you at? City? Up
Tacoma.
North?
In Tacoma.
It's going.
All right, excellent.
So how long were you guys under the belief that you're going to inherit his father's house?
For the first 20 years we were together.
Oh.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. Damn. When he passed on, did some of that house money trickle down to you once the house was sold?
No.
All right. Well, yeah,
really?
Double whammy.
Yeah, it was double whammy. But it's okay now because we just got our own house. And
how long have you been in the house?
For about less than a month.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Okay. Super fresh and new.
Yeah,
is your kid excited to be there?
Yes, she is. She finally has her own room. It's 2 blocks from her school. She's 12.
Nice. Okay, so that's awesome.
Can walk to him from school. And
this is the first time she's had her own room, you said?
Well, not her first time having her own room, but she's got her own space. And
yeah, space. I guess a little different than a room.
So you have your own space is what you're saying.
Okay, yep. Gotcha. All right.
No, that's cool. Great, man. When we, the current house we're in, so the first house my wife and I bought together, we bought as husband and wife. And then we have two kids, and right, you just get sized out of it. And the kids are sharing a bedroom. They're 4 and 3 years old at the time, but they always got along, right? No worries. So when we bought this house, it was 10 years ago, whatever it was, they each got their own bedroom. But, you know, we're talking to them in the car like, hey, guys, because they were super tight when they were little. And we're like, it's going to be a little different, man. You know, you're not going to be sharing a bedroom and all that. We walked into the house, appointed other bedrooms, gone. And it has been that way for 10 and a half. I mean, like, that is their space. Yep. They did not care. It's like, okay, we were overthinking that. They are more than happy to have their own space.
Our question on this Positive Friday, what is the last good thing that's happened to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Cody. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
So I have good stuff happen all the time, but I guess the next one and the last one that I got to celebrate is in July. I'll have 14 years without opioids.
Oh, wow, man. There you go.
All the way down.
Very good.
So you said good things happen to you all the time. I'm imagining in the last 14 years, more good things have been going your way.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm of that age of where I got injured in high school and the doctors just gave out opiates like Pez.
Yep.
And then when the doctor stops giving it to you, you end up in Seattle. And then you do all that fun.
You end up in Seattle.
So, yeah, and I'm not one for kind of half-button things. So I took that path all the way down and then decided that I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I've got a family, a great job. I mean, I love it.
Did you end up like on third or like U District?
All over, man. I still had a vehicle at the time, so I was still mobile. But yeah, it was, and I held a job through all of my addiction and all that kind of stuff. But it was one of those things where I had to make a decision if I wanted to keep living or if I just wanted to die, and just made that decision. And yeah, anybody that's out there that's still doing it, it's super easy. You just got to want it more than anything.
What was the moment that it hit you? Right, you think about it all the time, but there's a moment where you're willing to commit to doing something better. So what was the thing where you said, okay, I'm digging in and I'm kicking this?
Yeah, I think it was just like a culmination of things. Like you always have that kind of thought where it's like, man, I wish I'd stop this. And then you really take a step back and see how it's affecting everyone around you and how much you're the reason that they're in pain.
That's a hard look.
And it was just a realization that was like, man, if I don't stop, this is just going to end one way. And so I decided that day that if they'd have told me I had to climb Everest naked, I'd have done it. If they said it'll keep you sober. And so
that will keep you sober.
That was the issue the whole time.
Yeah. And you'll lose a few toes.
Yeah, if you climb Everest naked, that will definitely sober your ass up. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Do you still have any urges, or is it completely out of your system, you think?
Completely out of my system. I mean, I'll have a beer every once in a while. I was never a big drinker, but the more work you do on something like that, you figure out that the problem was you. It wasn't ever a drug problem. It wasn't ever an alcohol problem. The problem's you, and you just got to figure out what you're using that crutch for and why, and then work on yourself.
Okay. Yeah, that is fair.
That is
fair, man.
Cool.
That's a hard thing to do, but he's not wrong.
That's right.
Our Positive Friday question, what is the last good thing that's happened to you? 206-803-ROCK.
This is the mighty 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
11-year-old's birthday party had a turnout of more than 250 people earlier this month. The party guests, motorcyclists from the Sioux City area.
All right.
They filled the street to make the stranger's day after a special after seeing a mom's post asking for help. Can you make my boy's birthday special? Ashley Kirk, the mother of two boys, Dallas and Dakota, says she always goes big for birthdays. When we can make one day really, really special for them, why not? Now, for his 11th birthday, Kirk's son Dallas said he wanted to ride a motorcycle. He got the idea after 12 cyclists stopped by a lemonade stand he was running. Kirk said after that interaction, Dallas became obsessed with motorcycles. So she posted an invitation on Facebook, hoping she could get 20 or 30 riders to show up. We ended up getting 250 or 300 motorcycles at our house, along with the 712 Sioux City Jeep Club, she recalled. We had two Vipers show up, several sports cars. It was just amazing. To make their visit even more special, they brought gifts and cards for Dallas.
Damn.
Immediately, the mom broke down and cried. She's like, oh, my God, there's really good in the community. But Dallas, his reaction was not tears. As dozens of bikes pulled onto the street, she looked over at her son, and the smile on his face is the biggest smile I've ever seen in my life. It did not go away for days. After receiving an overwhelming amount of love from the community, she says she thinks that she has peaked her 11-year-old son's birthday party. I don't think I'll ever be able to top this one.
Just keep in mind, those bikers now want a discount on lemonade, homie.
Our question on this Positive Friday, what is the last good thing that's happened to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Opie. Welcome to the men's room.
How are you today?
Hola. Hola.
We're doing great, Opie. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I'll try to make this as short as possible. I was in a dirt bike accident back 30 years ago. I drove off a cliff going about 50 miles an hour and broke every rib off my spine, severed my spinal cord, broke my neck in two places, broke my arm in four places, and blew out both my lungs.
Jesus.
I was life-flighted from Yakima Memorial, out of the site over at Beverly Dunes, to Yakima Memorial, and then life-flighted over from Yakima Memorial to Boeing, and then up to Harborview. They put me through 9 hours of surgery to put me back together, and I was in there for 9 days at Harborview, transferred me over to the University of Washington to do my rehab, and did not know that there was still swelling in my head. Woke up the next morning, and I was totally blind.
Jesus.
So they put me back on heavy steroids, and I was able to get back 40% of my vision, which allows me to actually drive, which is, I'm legally blind. I got 2,400 vision, but a special pair of glasses allows me to drive. But anyways, I was only expected to live from 8 to 10 years, and this May is coming up on 30.
Wow.
So that's my first lucky one. And back in 2019, I was a passenger in my own van, and my buddy was driving my car, and he was had a hold of my hand controls and lost control of my car and put me into the windshield and broke my neck in two more places.
Jesus, man.
So, and I was listening to your show, I don't know, a year ago, and you guys had a nurse on there, and she was a nurse for a paraplegic, and that's what I am. I'm a paraplegic. I'm paralyzed from my chest down. And she said that they, someone who's paralyzed is unable to, let's say, function in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And that's far from true. I think my girlfriend is a nurse right now, and I've been dating her for 8 years, and
well,
I don't think so.
Can you feel anything? I mean, you're paralyzed, which means you can't move, but can you feel anything?
No.
Okay.
I cannot feel it, though.
So I wonder
you can still get aroused.
I was wondering how you get stimulated then, right? You know?
Well, you get stimulated.
I mean, you get stimulated by visual?
Visual and...
I do.
oral gratification.
All right. Okay. Yep. I thought.
Hey, man. Yeah, that's. It worked for me, too, and I got perfect use of
my lips. Maybe you can bring the bottom back to life a little bit.
I mean, that makes sense. Like, you're still stimulated. You know what I mean? Like, it's still going to happen. And then the girlfriend can take advantage of what you got going on there. But like I said, look, man, if you show me a pair of boobs, like, it's going to happen.
Right. Positive Friday, what's the last good thing that's happened to you? 206-803-ROCK.
I cannot believe he broke his neck a second time in one lifetime, but broke it in two different places than the first.
I also wouldn't feel comfortable with anyone driving my car if it
with
was
hand controls
if you're not used to operating a vehicle that way. I would think there's a little bit of a learning curve on that.
There's got to be. There's got to be, man.
I don't know. They do it at F1. I bet I could do it.
That's all you need.
Seems simple enough. And yeah. Max Verstappen.
You are a confident driver. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get that just in a regular car?
I never use those little bat things. You ever have a car with those little bat things on them where you can flip them real quick? And thum, thum, thum. I never use them, but I got them.
You talk about like an auto, like.
It's almost like a gear shift, but you just.
Right. Even though it's an automatic transmission.
Yeah. I've seen it in someone else's car, but I've never driven one. And I don't know that I would use it anyway.
But that's not really hand controls. I mean, I'm talking about brakes.
No, that is not hand controls at all.
Dude, I think I told you this. Years ago, like, I'm back in Maryland. I'm hanging out with my mom, and we're getting on, like, the Beltway or something. And she just drops it. You know, it's usually you have drive, second, first gear.
Yeah.
And just, like, drops it into a gear. And I go, what are you doing? Well, with a little more power as I get on the highway, I said, I don't think that's how an automatic transition works. Like, I don't think that's good. No, I've been doing it for years. It's fine. 6 months later, you won't believe this. What happened, Mom? She goes, my transition blew.
Oh, really?
I was like, yeah. You can't just do that.
Right.
It's not designed that way. Or it's designed to go 1-2 drive, but not just like she would just, I don't know what got into her head. I was like, it's an automatic.
You have to say in an automatic.
Correct.
It's right in the name.
Yeah. What's the last good thing that's happened to you? 206-803-ROCK.
They're real nice to tell you.
Hello, Casey. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So about a year ago, I was on a golf trip in Vegas with some buddies, and I won a $35,000 jackpot on a table game.
You won how much?
Wow.
$35,000 minus $8,000 taxes, obviously.
Sure.
And what do they just deposit it right in your account?
So I was worried I wouldn't be able to deposit a check of that amount from my phone, so I had them give me cash, which ended up kind of cool because I'd never held $28,000 in cash before, neither the couple buddies I was with.
Tell me you kept that in your carry-on.
So we kept it in the safe. Overnight, we were on a golf trip, so we were golfing the next morning at like 8, so it was in the safe there. I was a little nervous about that. Side note, hole number 2 the next day, I holed out from 170 yards out for an eagle, my first ever eagle. not kidding at all. It was wild. I was already ahead on the trip gambling, too. It was crazy. But then the next, once we got back, my buddies and I, you know, kind of put the money in a bag and walked it to the Chase Bank to deposit it because I didn't love the idea of having that much cash on me.
Did you keep any of the cash on you? Like, it's Vegas.
I kept enough to, you know, mess around the rest of the time. We were there for two or three more days.
And how many guys were on the trip?
At that point, there was just five of us left. I took everybody out to a steak dinner.
Are you immediately on the hook for dinner?
Yes,
we know you can cover.
Well, even when you get an eagle that far out, you're kind of already on the hook for dinner, even if you didn't win the money. Because if you hole one out from that, it's the equivalent.
It wasn't a hole one. I don't think that counts.
Yeah, well, it wasn't, but it still has that distance. It still has that same.
I was pretty shocked on that one. I'm almost more shocked on that.
I mean, it's right, but it's an eagle.
You've
got to buy people dinner.
Well, I mean, that's
not a hole in one.
That's what I would sell. We're not playing golf.
Of course you would sell that, Miles.
Sure, I would. Yeah, like, look, dude, you just knocked that thing in from 175 yards. We are going to Nobu. Where do you go?
Nobu, yeah.
Nobu, that's where we're going. Nobu.
In that case, I'm like, go back to your safe and grab that cash, brother.
Get a couple more thousand.
If you're getting an entree, though.
I went on the Alamos for steak. It was about a $1,000 dinner for us, though. It wasn't cheap.
Excellent. How many of you?
Five. Yeah, at that time it was five still.
That's good work.
That is really good work.
Yeah, $200 a person, not bad. I mean, it adds up, but per man, that's not so bad.
I think the most I've ever won is just in the Vegas airport, that $125.
No, but that was so time appropriate.
Oh, my God.
That was so important to our situation, where it's like, okay, we can afford Advil and Burger King.
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. Because we were dead. I mean, literally, we had no money. and you hit that. People must have thought we won $10,000.
We did not have a dollar.
No, we didn't.
Not $1.
The most I've won in Vegas, it was second pull of a slot machine, the first time I went there as an adult, $960. That's all. It's not a ton of money, but...
It's a lot of money.
But the way it worked there, so it's one of those slots where the more quarters you put in, the more money you'll get back, right, based on what you hit. So I did not realize that at the time. They were quarter slots, is what it said on the sign.
Yeah.
After the fact, I found out you can put up to like $1.50, and these things would have paid out, what, six times more than I put in. Either way, I put in 25 cents, second pull. I have basically just gotten off the plane, $960, but it's ding, 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 ding. And this was at the Flamingo, which I don't even know if it's still open, but everyone there is 500 years old or older. And this lady's mead mugging me, and I realized she was the last person who had sat where I'm sitting. So basically, she was two pulls away from hitting this, but she's staring me down, and I'm like, man... You moved. This is not on me. You know what I mean?
Like, but did she kind of walk over and just start staring you down?
She moved over like two stools. And I visually saw her do this as I'm walking into the casino. So I'm figuring out what slot do I want to play. Kind of packed in there. So I see her, like, her luck had run out on that machine. So she slid down like two stools, playing a different slot. So I sat down in her seat, man, second pull, won the money. I was so broke back then. I'm like, this is the greatest day of my life. Where were we? This was in New Orleans. Miles and I are at this casino in New Orleans. I don't remember what game I'm playing, but there's this little Asian lady next to me. And she keeps staring at us. And I'm like, man, what is her problem? Right? This seems against typical casino etiquette, right? Because she's playing her own game.
Yeah.
And she actually reaches over and hits my button. Oh. And no, she ended up being right because I was doing it wrong. So she's staring at me because she realized I did not know what I was doing. She's like, you do it wrong! And I put my money in, man. I'm seriously, she leans over, but pushes me out of the way, like hits these buttons, and I won some money. Sir, and she's just shaking her head, looking at me like, you're so bad. I'm like, I know, man. I didn't realize I was bad.
Suck at this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she absolutely crowded my space, hit the buttons. I still don't know what she did, but won money. She's looking at me like, you see, you're so bad. I'm like, okay, I get it, man. Thank you.
Hey, first time I went to Vegas, I learned how to play craps. I was 21.
All right.
Took $30, make like $350, $400
off. Nice.
Awesome, right? So I promptly went to a strip club. It was super late at night. Went up to a private. I mean, I did not realize how high the charges were getting.
Oh, yeah.
That money was gone in no time. But chick was nice. She was basically like, she would start telling me about people fly her out. She has sex with these people. Then she was like, now it's like 4:35 in the morning. There's nobody in there. And she's like, wow. You don't have enough money. You're going to hang out for a minute. I'm like, all right. So we just start drinking. And then when she's leaving, she's like, here's a 20. Go down.
She gave you money.
She gave me a 20 back and said, look, I talked to the bouncer. It's fine. He's expecting you down there. There's a limo. It'll take you home. She goes, here's a 20 back. You tip this to the limo driver.
All right.
Don't keep it.
Damn.
That's a positive. So,
right. All right.
But I mean, like a scene out of a movie, I walk out of that strip club. The sun is blazing, right? So I'm like, I had on like a button up or something, but at this point, like it's half unbuttoned, like wearing slacks or whatever. And I remember I get out of that hotel at the Paris, and it is just packed with people going to do stuff. And I get out slugging a Miller Lite and smoking a cig. And I just felt like a giant piece of ass. It was awful. But I wasted every dime I had, and I did not have anything else to like get out. I had to like... I think I had to call my mom and be like, can you put $60 in my account?
Oh,
it was awful, dude.
Yeah, that's a bad feeling.
What's the last good thing that happened to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Naomi. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how's it going?
Hola. So what good thing happened to you?
The last good thing that happened to me was I suffered from severe alcoholism and was pretty close to death's door. And I found out I was pregnant and had a beautiful baby girl, and she pretty much saved my life.
How did you just go cold turkey?
Yeah, I ended up getting a pretty serious DUI. And so I decided to quit. And good thing I quit when I did, because then... I didn't find out I was pregnant until I was about 3.5 months.
Oh, wow.
And how old's your girl now?
She's 5.5 months.
Oh, okay. So it hasn't been that long ago.
No, I've been sober for 14 months.
All right.
And this is your first kid?
Yeah.
And everything in your life just changed in that moment, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an amazing thing.
I never planned to have any kids, never really was maternal at all. And now I'm loving it. Being a mom's like the best thing that ever happened to me.
That's awesome. The problem with kids, man. They kind of ruin your mojo.
Yeah.
You know, they pop out and you're like, fun. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't even know you,
fun,
and I love
you.
The fun
just shifts, you know?
It does. I will say.
Like, she's super cool, though. Like, she's, like the best kid you could ask for. Like, she's hella cool. Like, doesn't really cry. Like, she's my little homie.
That's awesome.
Keep it that way, man. Yeah,
long 5 months, give it a little tap.
That's right. It's funny, though,
just
man.
Just wait.
You know, once you have kids,
it'll
like,
cry.
A lot of your wins end up coming via your kids.
Absolutely.
So life, generally speaking, pretty good. I don't have a lot of complaints, no more than anybody else. But we found out earlier this week, I did not realize the process of applying to go to high schools. Mm. It's like you're sending your kid to goddamn college. I'm just like, and my wife's usually up on this stuff. So she's explaining to me all these different processes, these schools you visit, applications you fill out. And I'm like, man, when I was growing up, like, you went to the bus stop, the bus picked you up, and then dropped you off the building. The building it dropped you off at was your goddamn high school.
Yeah.
Period. Beginning. It's public and private.
Oh, really? Oh, you gotta fill out stuff for public?
Bro, and if you want to step outside of your
district.
Immediate.
Okay, because I'm with you. I'm like, I never heard of that for public school.
It is crazy. But, like, so all of our friends, everyone's going through this. Whatever. So I've been dragging my daughter around to these different high schools. All this crap. Anyway, she got a letter of acceptance.
Nice.
She wanted to go to, and I'm telling you, you guys heard me. When you're like, that sounded like a win. Because I'm screaming out there in the kitchen, like, yes! And I'm like, this isn't even for me. I realize I'm just that happy for her. And I want to get home and give my daughter a hug. I'm like, congratulations. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, you don't get it, man, but it's weird. Like, to me, this is a win. This made my day. I'm going to have a drink on your behalf.
What, or two. What's the last good thing that's happened to you? 206-803-ROTTER.
Hello, Eric. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hola.
I'm doing great, man. Positive Friday.
So, this whole story has been quite a roller coaster so far. And it all started with my wife and I. We're trying to have a kid for about 3 years. Going to specialists and all that stuff, and nothing was working. So we decided to go and apply for foster parents and go through that whole process. And it was about a week before we got our official license to be foster parents that we found out she was pregnant.
Oh, wow. That's timely.
Yeah. So we still, you know, finished the process and all that. And we started taking what they call respites, which is just glorified babysitting.
Right, right.
Like, we would take a kid for, like, a weekend or something. And the social worker called my wife while we were at work with a special case about a baby that was 2 weeks old. And I initially said no because I was about to start coaching and I'll barely be home. You know, my wife at this point was in her third trimester. But she really wanted to, so we took the foster, and last month we officially adopted him.
Oh, wow.
Really?
So you got two kids roughly the same age.
They're 6 months apart.
Okay.
Oh, wow, man. That is craziness.
Jeez.
Two boys, two girls, boy and a girl?
Boy and a girl.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Wow, man. I like how you said that, though. I was going to say no, but my wife really wanted to. We know how the rest of that ends.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you got to say. Yeah. But my wife really wanted, like, right, so that's what happened.
You can't have two boys, though. That's a problem.
What do you mean?
Well, if you know your wife is having your biological child, right?
Oh, right, right, right.
And it's going to be a boy. Then if you foster another boy, you know, from a different set of parents, you know, your one kid's going to be like, Dad, why is my brother's penis bigger than mine?
Why is he so much better at sports?
Yeah, exactly. Why is he smarter than me? Well, son, you're my biological child.
So you're the idiot.
Ted versus the FCC coming up at 4:35. And we got your emails coming up next from the men's room at KISW.com.